Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is Evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening. You are now tuned into Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Today, listeners, we're so very happy to have you tuned in, and we'll be continuing part two of our future with our guest in the studio with us at this time, Senator John Johnson. And as always, we're going to start our show with our opening prayer co-host.
Father, we just thank you today and we praise you. We lift you up and we magnify your holy name. Father, today in the name of Jesus, we say thank you because from early this morning, from the very rising that you touched us in every city, state around the world that are here breathing and living, having the five of our being because of you, we know that it was you, Lord God, that allowed us another opportunity today, and we rejoice today. We rejoice and give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise as we thank God for our youth today all over the world. As those that are coming together in leadership, we pray that you continue to bless them, that they will share information and direction for a future that will yield them hope. And we give you honor, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray for all that's connected, that they will not leave the way they came, but they'll leave receiving information that will not only make a difference in their life, but make a difference in the lives of the young people that they impact. In Jesus' name, we pray and say, amen.
Listeners, today we'll be continuing once again our topic from part one, our future. And our guests will be discussing on today crime, unemployment, retail shopping, housing, and community development matters. Many questions will be answered. If you have any, feel free to put that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts today's topic. Without further ado, we will now bring in the studio our guest for today, Senator John Johnson. Good afternoon, Senator. How are you
today? Good afternoon. Doing good, Evangelist. How are you doing? And Pastor, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you, Senator.
Good. Very good. It's really, really good to be with you all again this afternoon to just have some conversation and some dialogue with so many issues that really impact so many people around the country and throughout the city of New Orleans, throughout the state of Louisiana. And when we talk about the issues and the concerns that we have in New Orleans, as I said before, I know that these issues are very, very similar to issues that people are confronted with, especially in urban areas and in larger cities, or in small cities, quite frankly, around the country. We all watch the news enough to know that regardless to what region of the country you're living in, there are issues. And so many of the issues are similar. Crime is a major problem. Nationwide, we're having problems. When the President of the United States has to really come on television and say, I am going to spend my time, energy, and effort and resources on dealing with the crime problem that we have in this country, you know, is serious. And thank God we have a president who will devote the kind of time that he needs to devote to solving problems that we're confronted with in this country, because for the last few years under a different administration, we had problems, and we really didn't get a whole lot of solutions to those problems. But I'm just happy to be here with you all again to talk about the issues and to address the concerns that my constituents and my neighbors and my friends might have about what's going on in the city of New Orleans, what's going on in eastern New Orleans, what's going on in the Lower Ninth Ward. The Lower Ninth Ward was the poster child for Katrina, and there are still major problems in that community that we need to solve.
Senator Johnson, we had questions for you on last week, and we will revisit those questions later on in the show. But at this time, we're going to just turn the studio over to you so you can do your presentation so the listeners out there can clock in early if they have a question or comment and not wait till the end of the show. And that way we'll be able to get their questions in and they can have enough time to ask to get a clearance on and understanding on what they're asking you. So we're just going to let you flow with the show on today. We will be revisiting the questions in about a half an hour or so. So I hope and pray that you're prepared to go forward with your presentation at this time. Tell us more about the crime that's taking place, not only in the city of New Orleans, but around the world. And also touch a little bit on housing, issues on housing and unemployment, if you will, please.
Yes, crime is clearly the major concern that people have in urban areas and in the city of New Orleans, in eastern New Orleans, in District E. Anytime you talk to people, you find the first thing that they want to talk about is, what are we going to do about the crime problem that we're having in this community? Unfortunately, people are afraid, not just women and not just children, but people in general are afraid. I've got friends of mine, guys, males, who tell me that they don't go out at night anymore. They just simply do not go out at night anymore. And that has to change. That attitude really has to change in the city of New Orleans and specifically in New Orleans East. We're hurting ourselves. The city of New Orleans, it is to our advantage economically, politically, socially, and every other way that we can think of. It is to our advantage to do whatever we've got to do, and in some cases, spend whatever we've got to spend in order to get the crime problem under control, because we're losing business, and when you lose business, you're losing tax dollars. And when you're losing tax dollars, you're losing the money that is needed to operate government in the city of New Orleans. We are not going to be able to pay for street improvements. We're not going to be able to pay for the kinds of protection like fire protection and other kind of the water system. All of these things, the school system, all of these are function of business and the quality of life issues that we have in a community. So if people are not spending money in the city of New Orleans, if they feel like they've got to go to surrounding parishes, they can't go out and shop in Orleans Parish. They can't go out and buy gas at night. in Orleans Parish, then they're going to go to St. Bernard Parish. They're going to go to Jefferson Parish. They're going to go to the surrounding parishes and spend their money. And that is not in our best interest. Again, one of the things that really upset me a lot, and I've said it before, and I want to continue to talk about this because this particular issue really touched me. I was trying to find a school for my child to take her driving education course this summer. And one of the schools, a major school, a large school that offers driving courses, said to me that they don't provide driving courses in the city of New Orleans anymore. And I said, well, why? You know, I got very upset about it and started thinking, well, here we go again, a business who is not going to operate in New Orleans because it's the city of New Orleans. But she said, we had a problem with one of our student drivers with a fender bender, and we needed to get the police department out to write up a police report. And she said it took over 5 hours for the police department to come and write up a police report. So we don't have 5 hours to waste on waiting for a police report to be written up. So we've just stopped going into that particular area of the metropolitan area. And that hurts. And if you get more businesses who are saying the same thing, retail types of businesses, it's like Sam's. I can remember when I was on the city council before, when I fought to bring Walmart to New Orleans East. I was able to convince Walmart to come back to New Orleans East, but they one of the reasons why they said they didn't want to bring Sam's back is because there's too much product walking out of the store. And we have an obligation, we have a responsibility as community leaders, as church leaders, as religious leaders and all, to let people know these few people, and they're in the minority, those very few people who are out there creating problems, committing crime, and in many, many cases, violent crimes, carjacking, murder or shootings and those kinds of things, they are hurting the entire city. They're hurting the image of the city. They're ruining the quality of life of the city, and that is not in our best interest. So I will say to you, as an elected official, I am going to be very, very outspoken. I'm going to be very, very strong. I'm going to be very, very focused on dealing with the issues and dealing with the problems that we're confronted with in our community. And in the area of crime, one of the things that we need to do is look at short-term problems and long-term problems. Short-term problems, I will say to the police department, bring some of these mobile units into the community to create a presence in the community. But that is not going to completely solve our problem. We're not going to be able to police our way out of the crime problem that we're confronted with in this city and in this country. We have got to create better and more opportunities for young people. We've got to create more and better opportunities for African Americans, for black people, for black businesses. The banks have got to loosen up. When black people go to try to get loans, we've got to be treated equally. We've got to be given a fair chance. We've got to be given a fair opportunity to bring small businesses back into our communities. Because when a person like myself owns a business, when a person who looks like me owns a business, I'm going to be hiring people who look like me. So the banks, the businesses, the church leaders, the community leaders, the political leaders, business leaders, we all have a role to play in this process. And that's the only way we're going to be able to deal with the crime problem that we're confronted with in this city, in this country, in these urban areas around the country. The judges, the district attorney, the sheriffs, all of these people have a major role to play in helping to solve the crime problem that we're confronted with in this community. When a person commits a violent crime, judges, don't put them back on the street. Don't just put them back on the street. If they commit a violent, let's do whatever we've got to do to try to rehab and to try to work with people. But, you know, if a person is committing a violent crime, and if a person is carjacking, they don't care whether they're carjacking me or you or a male or a female or a black person or a white person or an Asian person. It doesn't matter. So we've got to be serious about making sure that we address the problem and address it in a systematic manner, Evangelist and Pastor.
Agree. You're still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. Senator, we do have a caller. I'm going to bring that caller in now because we do want to hear from them early because, as you know, time really passes on Facing Your Fears. But before I bring in the caller, I have a question. And, well, let me bring the caller in, and then I'll ask the question in case it's going to take you some time to answer that question. So I'll bring in our caller from error code 504-8011, error code 504-8011. Hello, caller. You're now live on the air with us.
Good afternoon, Evangelist Chapman and your awesome co-host, Pastor. I'm concerned about the retail problems here in the eastern part of New Orleans. What are your plans? I can't say increase because we have really none of the major stores here in eastern New Orleans. What are your plans to bring more retail outlets here in eastern part of New Orleans, even the lower Ninth Ward, but mainly the eastern part?
An excellent question. I know that is another very serious concern on the part of the residents in the lower Ninth Ward and eastern New Orleans. Retail is something that is near and dear to the hearts of all of us, because we all have to go shopping for clothes and for shoes and apparel and things of that nature from time to time, hardware or whatever the case might be. When I was a senator in the state legislature, I passed a bill that is called a tax increment financing district. It is a bill that gives priority treatment to districts in areas that are in need of retail and different kinds of businesses like New Orleans East. We need more businesses in New Orleans East, and we need more diversified businesses in New Orleans East like retail. That particular district would have allowed us to concentrate on the Lake Forest Plaza Mall site and to bring retail businesses to that site and give them priority treatment and preferential treatment with the taxes that is generated from that area. The taxes would go back, the tax dollars would go back specifically into that area. It would not be taken to go to other parts of the city, but the tax dollars or part of the tax dollars would stay in that area in order to support retail businesses in that area. I left the Senate. I was no longer in the Senate the year after I passed that legislation. Nothing has happened with that legislation that is going to allow us to bring retail businesses into Eastern New Orleans and the Lower Ninth Ward. I am determined and I am committed to revitalizing that district and revitalizing those opportunities that we have to rebuild that site. Right now, we have a building that was a retail building, that was a Lowe's building, a Lowe's building supply on that site. It's a big building. It's a building that I think can be retrofitted into retail outlets. The building is there. All of the water and gas and sewer and electric, all of the infrastructure that we need in order to build a retail outlet is right there on the site. You need to have someone who knows how to get it done. You need to have someone who understands the process, who has done it before, and who can do it again. You know, if you've done something before, it's easier to do it again. I am the person who brought $10 million to Eastern New Orleans in order to build Jazzland and Six Flags. $10 million. I got that money from the state in order to build Six Flags. We need to do the same thing with retail development in New Orleans East. We can do it at the Lake Forest Plaza site. That area was supposed to become a city within a city where you should not have had to leave New Orleans East to go to purchase whatever you need, whether it's clothing, food, or whatever. Whatever you need, you should have been able to purchase it in Eastern New Orleans at that site. And, you know, at one time, the Lake Forest Plaza Mall, which is the same site that I'm talking about, we had a major mall there at one time. It was the largest mall in the state of Louisiana at one time. We had a skating rink there. We had theaters. We had all kinds of activities and all kinds of shopping opportunities at that site. Well, we're not going to be able to bring it back to what it was before, but we certainly can bring retail shopping back to that mall if they can do it uptown or in Central City on Claiborne and Washington Avenue. We can certainly do it in New Orleans East, where you've got some of the highest income people in the state living in New Orleans East. You've got some of the best subdivisions in New Orleans East. You've got gated communities. We've got more gated communities in New Orleans East than you have in any other neighborhood in the city of New Orleans. But we don't have any shopping. We don't have any retail shopping. Something is wrong there. And what I would submit is wrong there is leadership, the need for leadership. I passed that bill 1 year that I was in the legislature as a senator. The next year, I was no longer in the legislature. Nothing happened to that bill, and nothing has happened since then. Same thing is true in the Lower Ninth Ward. We had a CVS in the Lower Ninth Ward. We had a Family Dollar. Those were the only two retail outlets that we had in the Lower Ninth Ward. I know that people in New Orleans East don't want any more Family Dollars or Dollar Generals. We don't need any more of that in New Orleans East. We don't need any more Family Dollars and Dollar Generals in New Orleans East. But they sure can use one in the Lower Ninth Ward because there is not one. That Family Dollar that they had in the Lower Ninth Ward has closed down. That CVS drugstore that we had in the Lower Ninth Ward has closed down. And it closed down within the last 2 years. Something is wrong. And I think a major part of it is leadership. A major part of the problem is leadership. And when I get back into a leadership position, I'm going to change that. I am determined to change it because I know how to do it, and I've done it before. I understand business very, very well. My training is in economics and finance. master's degrees in economics and finance, undergraduate degrees in economics and finance, having been a business person for 40 years, having created the Small Business Development Center at Southern University at New Orleans, having taught business-related courses, economics and management and all of those courses at Southern University at New Orleans for 30 years, I understand that. I understand business, and I understand how to get business done, and I understand how to bring it back to the Lower Ninth Ward and to New Orleans East, and that's what I'm going to be working on. That's a priority. That is something that we need to do. That is something that the people in those communities deserve, and they are demanding it, and they should have it.
Now you have it, listeners. You're still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Venice Norma Chapman, with our co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. Caller, all of your answers to the question that you asked, was it satisfactory to you? Caller, 8011, are you still with us in the studio?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes, you eloquently answered my questions. I just want to know, when can we get started? We need the leadership now.
Well, we're on our way. We are started right now, and that's one of the reasons why we are having this conversation on this most prestigious radio program that we're on with the evangelist and the pastor. I really, really appreciate them giving me a forum, giving me an opportunity to talk about the issues. But we're talking about the issues because we intend to address them and we intend to move forward with them. We know that people are demanding some answers, and people are demanding some action. We need action. And a part of the action is having this conversation. And I want to invite the people in the community to interact with me. Interact with me, and I want to hear from you. 504-231-5419. I want to hear what's on people's mind. I want to hear what they have to say, and I want to get suggestions and recommendations from my constituents and my former constituents and my neighbors and my friends and my church members. I go to two churches in the district, in District E. I go to St. David Catholic Church. That's where I started my community service, and I go to St. Maria Goretti Catholic Church. I'm a Eucharistic minister at Maria Goretti and an usher at Maria Goretti. I was an usher over at St. David's Church. I was a Eucharistic minister, and I'm in church every single Sunday. And I want to hear from people. I want to know what's on your mind. I think I know what the priorities are. I know crime is number one. I know retail is major. I know that quality of life is a major, major issue. Education, very, very, very important to people in the community. Making sure that people have jobs, employment, decent housing, all major issues to people in the community, specifically in the Lower Ninth Ward. There are a lot of people who want to come back to the Lower Ninth Ward, who want to rebuild their homes in the Lower Ninth Ward, who are not able to do so. We should have a special program that is earmarked to rebuild the Lower Ninth Ward. The Lower Ninth Ward was the poster child of Katrina. The people in the Lower Ninth Ward did not and have not gotten their fair share of the resources that came into the state for Katrina. We need to change that. So we're moving. We're moving right now. We're talking right now. We're talking every day to people and making sure that people understand that I'm ready to address the problems. I know how to address the problems. I've done it in the past. And there's one thing that I would say to the people in the community. Judge people by what they have done in the past. Judge people by what they have done or have not done, for that matter, in the past. I am the one who fought to bring the hospital to New Orleans East. I am the one who fought to bring the Walmart that we have in New Orleans East. I am the one who fought to bring the driver's license office to New Orleans East. I am the one who took the lead in making sure that we are fighting for the vitalization of the library, the 7th District Police Station, the Joe Brown Park, and all of those things. And if you go and look at those facilities, you'll see my name on them because I was there fighting for those kind of institutions coming back to New Orleans East and coming back to the Lower Ninth Ward very, very, very soon. The Andrew Pete Sanchez building, I fought for that building to bring that building back. That new fire station that we have on the corner of Catherine Avenue and Claiborne Avenue, I fought to bring that fire station back to New Orleans East, to the Lower Ninth Ward. And I will continue to fight. You know, I'm the one who fought to bring a swimming pool. As a state senator, I brought the swimming pool. I got the money to do the swimming pool over at Joe Brown Park. I did that. And I know people say, well, you know, stop using I and don't use I as much. Well, people need to know. People need to know what their leaders have done and what they have not done. When I was the senator, all of those interchanges, we had all of those interchanges manicured. Some people will remember that. Bullitt, Reed, Crowder, those interchanges were manicured, and we had them landscaped very, very well. We went to the businesses. We went to the businesses and got the businesses to help us to buy into landscaping those interchanges. Because that's what people see. When they get off of the interstate, that's what they see. And it makes a difference as to whether or not they're going to get off of the interstate and spend their money in New Orleans East. So we've got to get back to doing that. And one of the things that we need to do is make sure that we involve young people. Get the young people more involved in what we're doing in the community. Get the young people in the Lower Ninth Ward more involved. Get the young people in New Orleans East more involved in what we're doing in the community, because they want to be involved. I've got a 17-year-old daughter who tells me all the time about the need to involve young people in what we're doing in leadership in the community to a greater extent than we're currently doing. That's one of the reasons why whenever I have community meetings, I bring my daughter with me so she can see what's going on in the community. Because at some point in time, when she becomes a doctor, the way her late mother was a doctor, she wants to become a doctor, I want her to be able to come back and work in that community. And that is something that she has an interest in doing.
There you have it, listeners. You are still tuned in to Faith and Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Janice Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. All right, listeners and a caller, I'm so very happy that you called in on today to get some clearance on how you answers to your thoughts as being one of our citizens here in the city of New Orleans. We thank you for your concerns, and we thank Senator for answering your question. We're going to move on now because time of essence with the show, and I have one question for the senator. Then I'm going to turn the show over to the co-host, and she will be hosting Pastor, until the ending of our episode on today. Senator, I know you've said a lot of things that your intentions are to do if you're blessed to be put back in that position as you were years ago when you did so many beautiful things out here in East New Orleans, and I've lived out in East New Orleans since 1977. I want to thank you for all of your endeavors and everything that you did to bring the New Orleans east. When I moved out here, it was nothing but a forest. I think that the furthest you can go was to Crowder. And since I've been a resident out here, you have areas now that have been opened up past Bullard as far as, you know, leading into Charlotte.
Mission Boulevard, yes. Yeah.
You get on the bridge to slide down.
Yeah.
Can you also give us your vision on this crime, and not just per se crime, but the act of crimes that these juveniles are engaged in our city? You know, I've been around a long time, and I've never heard of people getting robbed at the filling station from the automobile and getting killed when they walk out their door to go to work because of the crime that the juveniles are doing to hijack their cars. Now, we've heard of people hijacking cars all over the world, but to the sense of just, you know, putting a gun on you and hijacking the cars at the filling station outside the grocery store, our elderly people go to make groceries, they are afraid to do anything in the city of New Orleans, just not in the east and the lower Nightwall area, but in the entire city. So can you give me a vision on what you would do? You said earlier that everyone has to play a part, and that's including the judges and the police department and our sheriff department and et cetera, et cetera. But I want to know the vision that you would have. What would you bring to try and resolve some of this, these nonsense crimes that these our young generation are doing here in the city of New Orleans?
I would suggest a long-term solution and a short-term solution. My short-term solution would involve bringing more mobile command units into high crime areas. If we're having a problem on Dahlman and Chef, I think it would be good for the police to have some kind of a presence in that community so that people can see the police, and if there's an issue, they can call them and the police will be there in seconds. If it's a high crime area, let's bring some mobile units into the area. Let's make sure that we have all of the resources that is available to us in the communities where people don't feel safe and where we have the largest concentration of activity with criminal activity. That would be the sheriff's office. Look, Marlon Guzman's office is primarily responsible for running the jails, and I understand that. We all understand that. Our sheriff in Orleans Parish doesn't operate the same way as sheriffs in most of the other parishes, like Jefferson Parish or St. Bernard Parish. Those sheriff's department have a role in active policing in communities. Our sheriff here, Marlon Guzman, doesn't really have that responsibility. But I would lean on him. I would lean on him, and I would lean on his resources to help the police department in an emergency situation to free up some of those police officers who could go on the street to do more patrolling on the street. I would also call on the state police. And let me just pause here for a minute and say that as an African-American leader, I know that we've had some problems with the state police. And I think that investigation that the Louisiana Legislative Black Caucus is calling for and that the Justice Department is calling for, I think it needs to be done. I think we should investigate the state police to find out exactly what happened and what's going on with them. But I think they can play a role. I think they need to play a role in helping us to deal with the issues that we're having in our community with the criminal element. I would call on the Justice Department. All of the resources of the United States of America Justice Department. I would call on them for funding, for agents, and for whatever else they can provide to us. All of the resources that they have. I would call on the levy board. I would call on the levy board resources. So we've got, you know, the Harbor Police Department. We have all of these different police departments in our area. I don't think there is a coordinated effort to deal with the most serious problem that we have in the community. The most serious problem that we have in the community, the thing that people are scared about more than anything else, is what you just said, Evangelist, carjacking, murders, gun shots and shootings and those. That's really where we have got to focus all of our resources exactly. Right now. That's what we should be focusing on right now, making sure that we deal with those problems because people are scared. People are scared.
That's right.
And not just ladies, not just females, not just people who look like me, but young people also. Young people are scared. Everybody's scared. Everybody's worried. So let's get this thing under control. And the realistic part about it, Evangelist and Pastor Doris, is that it's just a few people. It's not a lot of people. It's just a few people. It's just a few of these people who are committing these violent crimes that we have got to get under control. You know, we should be able to find those people working with the district attorney's office, working with the judge's office, working with the levy board police, working with the harbor police, working with the state police, working with the justice department, working with the sheriff's office, working with the city police department. My God, you need to tell me all of those resources can't go in and find these few people who are creating the kind of problems and the kind of disruption that we're having in these communities. All of these people, all of these crime fighters have got to come together. And then the community has to come together and make sure that we're involved. When you see something, say something. When you see something, say something. And, you know, some people may not agree with what I'm about to say, but I had a gentleman to call me, his name is Mr. T, who called me to say, you know, we really should have commended that man who turned his son in for committing that murder. And he said, I made several different phone calls to several leaders. Nobody wanted to do anything about it. But yes, if you've got a relative who's committing a violent crime, talk to that person. Do whatever you can do to try to let that person know this is not the route that he or she should be going. And regardless to who the person is, as a community, we've got to come together and deal with this issue as a community. That's what I would be doing on a short-term basis, in addition to looking at quality of life officers, bringing more quality of life officers into the community, making sure that we do a better job of organizing the neighborhoods and organizing the communities with the crime-fighting organizations that we have on the community and neighborhood level. I think we need to do that on a short-term basis. On a long-term basis, we've got to give people opportunities. We've got to give people jobs. We've got to give people education. We've got to do a better job of educating people. We've got to let people know. We've got to educate people and let them know that this is not the route to go. In the long run, it's going to catch up with you, and it hurts the community. Education. That is the route to go. I was talking to a young man a couple of days ago. I'm sitting down talking to him. He's 16 years old. I asked him, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? He said, well, I want to be a truck driver. I said, why? You know, why? You're 16 years old. Why do you want to be a truck driver? You can be the president of the United States of America.
You can become the president
of the United States of America. But you know, it's just a matter of just education, just educating, just talking to young people, having the opportunity to let them know that they can do anything they want to do, and that the violent criminal way is not the way to go. There are opportunities for you to do more and to do better. But they need some direction. They need some leadership. The biggest problem we have right now is one of leadership.
Right.
Leadership. Leadership.
We are running real, real low in the show right now, and we do want to hear what you're saying. If you can just save that for your closing statement, I just want to just share with you, we did ask some questions on the last week, and one question that, and especially with the garbage issues that we're having here in the city, not just in New Orleans, but all over, how do you get the neighborhood cleaned up? And that's a question that you were not able to answer on last week, and if you can shortly give me a short answer to that question. And after you answer that question, I will then yield and turn the show over to our co-host, which I'm sure she has some questions, even though she's not a citizen in the city of New Orleans. But we can agree that crime is high everywhere now.
Yes, there's no boundaries.
No boundaries.
And Miami as well. But one thing that we can here in this city is that we actually don't know where the crime is going to take place in reference to hijacking cars and guns and being drawn on people, because you don't know where they're at, and they're breaking in cars, and it's all over in various neighborhoods. So let's say, for instance, if you did have a unit set up, corner of Bullet, and just roughly say Chef or somewhere like that, or out there on Catherine and Claiborne, just using that for an example.
Right, yeah.
It's really with the crime that's happening now, it's not really giving an insight on what's going on 3 blocks away from there, or 10 blocks away from there, or 20 blocks away from there. They're going into every neighborhood in every area of our city, and this is where the crimes are taking place in reference to breaking in cars and breaking. And, you know, this is costing people money. Insurance is going up. We already live in a city where our insurance is above every other city or state in the United States. And when they break in people glass, the automobile glass, and does damages to their car, that make our car insurance go up more higher. Because the insurance company then has to, lash back in order to get that money back in their pockets. As well as during the pandemic, people do not have the kind of money they need to go back and repair their cars. So I find that issue a very, 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 very big issue here in our city. And I can answer that question now about the neighborhood cleanup, and briefly, turn the show over to our co-host, and when she would include the show for today, Senator Johnson, Neighborhoods Cleanup.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. I know both of the owners of those companies that operate the garbage disposal in the city of New Orleans. They both are good people. They both are hardworking business people, and they're having some problems. They're having some difficult times trying to find the people that they need to work in those businesses. They've got to pay them more money. I know they were supposed to have a meeting. There's supposed to be some kind of a discussion going on as to exactly how the matter is going to be resolved, and there are talks going on. I think the situation has gotten a little better. The problem has not been solved, but the situation has gotten better, where it does seem like they are maybe picking up garbage one time a week instead of the two times a week that they're supposed to be picking it up. I would be working directly with these business people, saying to them that we've got to pay the workers more money. The competition is so much greater for employees than it was prior to the pandemic. And that is not just the case with these garbage disposal companies. That is the case with all businesses throughout the country. The employees are in charge now. They're in control. And as business owners, we have got to pay people more money than we paid them prior to the pandemic. Otherwise, we're going to be outbidded by other companies. One of the things that I took upon myself to do, quite frankly and quite honestly, I called another disposal company just as a community leader and suggested to that disposal company that perhaps they can get involved in helping to at least clear up the backlog of the garbage that we had in our different communities in New Orleans East and throughout certain parts of New Orleans. And I think that company has gotten involved, and I think that's going to go a long way toward solving the problems, toward addressing the problems. But in the long run, the only way the problem is going to be solved is if you are competitive with your salaries and if you are paying people more money in order to get them to come to work for you as opposed to going to work for someone else. Now, that's number one. Number two, the people have got to be trained. As my understanding, one of the biggest problems they're having is with drivers. Not anybody can drive a garbage disposal truck. You have to have a special driver's license, a chauffeur's license in order to be able to do that. So you've got to find the drivers. Truck drivers are in major demand worldwide, certainly nationwide. There are a lot of companies that are looking for truck drivers, and maybe that was one of the reasons why my little friend said to me that he wanted to become a truck driver, because truck drivers are in demand right now, and they are making good money. They're making very good money. So I would be, to answer your question directly, I would be working with the drivers. I would be working with other garbage disposal companies, at least on a temporary basis, and I would be working with the workforce development office to make sure that we get enough employees in there to work with those companies in order to solve this problem with the garbage that we have throughout certain neighborhoods in the city of New Orleans.
Thank you. And I'm going to yield here because we have very short time on the episode for today. And our guest did alert us that he has to leave a little early, but I think he stayed over his time. But we're going to yield right here and bring in our co-host and see what she has to share with us on today. And then we'll be closing out the show after then, because I know you have somewhere to go, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
And we do want to thank you for coming back on Facing Your Fears and talking to our citizens here in the city of New Orleans and answering questions and giving out so much informative information that's very much needed. And we are going to invite you back closer to, and you are running, my understanding is, for a seat in the lower night ward. And after everything is settled, we will be bringing you back in for more input on the situation here in the city of New Orleans and more guidance and your thoughts. And you know, I feel and believe that everybody has a voice in this. And everybody has different visions. But we need to come together as children of God and as people with wisdom from on high and find an answer, because there is an answer to every problem that we face. But we must come together and touch and agree so God can help us to get to that, to get the answers that we need to help our, my thing is helping these youth. You know, it breaks my heart when I turn on the television and a youth has been shot or has been captured for doing wrong. And then they're looking at life in penitentiary. And then when they, you know, it's just a hurting feeling that we're losing so many of our youth to crime. And to based on crime, where they can be doing other productive things in life, and we can do that by changing the environment in some of the areas and give them an opportunity to choose a better life. And that's going to take effort and a lot of planning, and not just talking it, talk to talk, but actually walk to walk by putting in the work. Co-host.
Good evening. I just wanted to say I'm so grateful for the opportunity to sit in this evening and hear such great information shared by our guests today, Senator Johnson, and also as Evangelist Chapman has chimed in and our caller. I wanted to just say that I remember even here, as you were saying, the issues are everywhere. They are worldwide. The crime is probably one of the top things everywhere. People are concerned. I heard the senator say that there are people that are even men who say they will not be out at night. A lot of people are saying that. They're saying that even here. I do what I have to do during the daytime, and then before dark, I am home. I'm locked in. I'm not going out. I'm not doing that. I'm not going out for any reason. So a spirit of fear, which is something that the Lord has not given us, but of course we have to operate in wisdom, has rested upon the people because of all of the crime. Nobody wants to go to their car and be hit in the head or shot or sexually assaulted or attacked because someone wants to take something that you have worked for. So I do agree that the leadership is a key issue. And even in the community, a lot of times the community, the people in the community, I've heard them say, even as I've encouraged them to come on, let's go to City Hall, let's go and share, let's go and let your voice be heard. Oh, it doesn't matter what I have to say. Yes, it does matter what you have to say. You matter. You are purpose with an assignment, and you matter. What you have to do does matter. Oh, it's not going to make any difference. If that's the attitude that you keep taking, then it won't make any difference. Our voice is important, and we have to go out and speak. And we have to go out and share. Go to those meetings. Don't just sit back and say, oh, I'm not going. It's not going to make a difference. Yes, it will make a difference. When you come out and you share how these things are affecting your life, the leadership is a key factor, and it must come together at the point of leadership. So I do agree with what I've heard this evening, and it's been very well said.
Well, thank you. That's true. It's all about leadership. It's all about competent leadership, good leadership, good,
yes.
Strong, competent,
strong leadership.
Experienced,
yes.
Leadership. Yes.
That's so true. So we are down to the last minute. Evangelist Chapman, is there anything else you want to share other than that? Thank you so much, Senator. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you to all our amazing listeners. We're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. Eternal Father, we just thank you tonight and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your name because it's your name that's above every name. We pray that you'll give every leader all over the world, give them the strength, oh God, that they will be able not to grow weary in the midst of their role of leadership, that they won't grow weary in the midst of the tests and challenges of life and the things that are consistently and ongoing happening. Realizing that these things are not strange, they were spoken, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. These things are happening because of the world that's a fallen world. But Lord, we ask you in the midst of their task, even though it may seem to be overwhelming and exhausting, that you would give them the strength to lead. Give them the strength, oh God, to seek your face. Oh God, to seek your mind, to do the things that are pleasing to you, to realize that they can't do it by themselves. Help them to know, praise God, that they need you and that they will seek you, oh Lord, for direction. I pray for divine strength for every leader, and that they will not rely on themselves, but they'll rely on you. In Jesus' name I pray and say amen. Safety and blessings to all.
Thanking everyone for tuning in
our show for today.
Thanking our guests once again, Susan Johnson, thanking the co-hosts and all of our callers and listeners that tuned in on today's show. Until next week, God bless you and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.